are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations to transform your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of leadership and business experience to add value to your day. We are going to hop right into today's topic, Are You Ready for Love? And this will be the last in our series on relationships, talking about how do you know if you're ready? Because let's say you've come out of a relationship or you're single right now. How do you know when you're ready to hop into another relationship and start dating seriously? And I think one of the first places that we want to start is, are you whole? So with wholeness, it's have I healed those broken places? So coming out of a divorce, so divorce is the death of like a living thing. And so I think dealing with all of those emotions, putting yourself kind of back together, because in my work, I found that people have to find themselves after they come out of like a long-term relationship. And so if you are at a place where you feel like yourself again, and you've come back to yourself, then that might be a sign that you might be ready.
And the other thing is, I love the way that you started off with being whole, because the first person we have to be in love with, have a relationship with, is ourselves. The greater or the more intense or beneficial you feel like your relationship is with yourself, then that will help establish how you allow others to treat you. The key with that is, what do you want to see in a relationship? Because sometimes what happens is, when we come out of a thing, it's so familiar to us that we end up in something that looks kind of like the thing we left. Different face.
And just a little better sometimes.
Typically a little better, but not it. So when you check, when you stand back and you say, well, what is it? And then I'm going to talk about me for a second, is that when I got a divorce, what I said is, I blamed everything on the other person. And it was easy to do that. However, as I matured, what I said is, okay, wait a minute. What did I do? And I'm not talking about right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm saying, what did I allow? How did I respond? What was my emotional baggage that I brought into the relationship? What are the things that I want out of the relationship? Did I tell them what I wanted?
That's so big. And I still have people that want the other person to anticipate their needs. Now, it is amazing. So if I'm sitting here and somebody is just like, hey, would you like some tea? And I love hot tea. And, or if somebody does anticipate your needs, that is amazing. But to say that that other person is going to know me so well that they always know exactly what I need, because let's be honest, you don't always know.
Come on. That's the key. We don't. And have you ever said you wanted something, you got it, and then you said, it's okay. Or you wanted, whether it be dinner or whatever, you just had a flavor, you had a taste in your mouth for something, whatever it is. And then you got it and you did not appreciate it. That is the key with everybody. So there is a great book. And it's a series. He does it for teens. He does it for youth. All of that. It's by Gary Chapman, because I love to read. And it's called The Five Love Languages. Now, what I recommend, because it's about, are you ready, right? I recommend you get that book, find out what is your love language or the mix of your love language, so that you'll be able to help someone else, help yourself first, and help someone else be able to provide that to you. And I'm gonna go back to my situation. My ex, I never knew what I wanted. I mean, and so what the person did is gave me what they wanted. And it was their way of showing love. there's nothing wrong with it. It was their way of showing love. And I found myself in other relationships like that, where people were trying to give me things. Well, that's not my love language. It was something they wanted, but I wasn't able to express it. I didn't know why it, you know, like, yeah, that's okay. Or, yeah, thank you. But it wasn't something that really pulled on my or tapped into who I was. So I had to find out who I was and what I liked and gave myself, listen to me, gave myself that. And then I was able to see it in other people. And I started attracting people that were more in that line. So that's a key that I would say.
I like that, because I think it is important to know what you do want. Because I think after you come out of a relationship, you often know what you don't want. You're like, I definitely don't want this. A recommendation that I have is, if you are open to therapy, you are emotionally intelligent, and you are doing your work, looking for somebody that has done their own work, that is doing their work, I think that can definitely be helpful. And then also knowing what are your non-negotiables.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what, if this thing comes up, this is something that I'm not willing to negotiate on.
Okay, two things. The non-negotiables are critical. But let me tell you, when is the best time to write a non-negotiable or even to negotiate something, right? Is when you're not in it. When you're in the relationship and you start thinking, well, this is a non-negotiable, huh? Wait a minute. So do it in advance. Again, knowing you, there are some things that are non-negotiable for me. Absolutely. I mean, game changers. That doesn't mean we can't be friends. That doesn't mean we can't hang out. But in, as far as having a courtship, a relationship that will lead to something greater, it's non-negotiable. Then the other thing I would like to address that you said that I think is so powerful, and I did, is I went to a therapist. I went to someone who could help me. It was a counselor. I went to her, and she was, that was her space. I went to her, and I went through things that had happened in my life, and not just in the divorce, but in my life. Hear me, that happened in my life. And started working through the process of healing.
Because the one thing that we can sometimes do on accident, it is something that is subconscious, is if I felt abandoned or rejected within my childhood, sometimes I can end up in relationships that bring up those feelings of abandonment and rejection. And so addressing some of those things. Now, you can't do all the work single, because relationships will push buttons in ways that you just, when you're single, like those things just don't happen. I heard somebody describe that relationships are a mirror and they show you parts of you that you can't see. And that can hurt. Like, that's not like, so yeah, if my partner is like, hey, you stink. Now, they would do it in a nicer way, but like, that's pretty much if they show me a part of me and I'm like, ooh, but they're right. And okay, this is something for me to work on. That's sometimes what can happen, but I think it's how the person does it. And if a person is sensitive to feedback, period. Because feedback and criticism are different. Mm. Criticism is saying, you're so lazy, you don't, like, criticism is blaming, shaming, versus feedback is saying, I would appreciate it. It's, hey, have you noticed this? Oh, wow, it really seems. Feedback is being able to provide somebody with information for their growth.
Right. Feeding your growth, feeding you. The other is usually from a negative space, taking from you, and feedback is giving to you. Now, part of the key is some people say, well, I didn't ask for feedback. However, when you're in a relationship, you automatically get feedback. You get it one way or the other. And you want to, for me, the open dialogue in a relationship, whether before marriage, especially, or before you enter into a courtship, maybe, is like, can you tell the other person anything? how do they respond to the little things? Do they hear your voice?
And I heard somebody on TikTok say, how do they handle when they don't get their way?
Amazing.
So if you have, it's a really big red flag. If something came up, I'm like, hey, you know what? I have to work this weekend. Can we reschedule? And the person blows up and is extremely angry about that. Like that might be.
That's now,
if I do it, if I do it all the time, that's different than what if I have to change my plan sometimes? Can I recommend a place for us to go? And no relationship is perfect. So there is no perfect relationship. There will be conflict. And I think often if single, if by myself, if I'm not good at resolving conflict with my platonic friends, working on some of that conflict resolution, working on self-compassion. So there's this thing called projection, where what's in me, I project onto other people. So if I'm not feeling good about myself, then I might project onto other people, like that might spew out onto other people. And so I do think that's why I started with the being whole part, like being able to get those parts of you back.
And I'm going to give an example that popped in is this. You're sitting at a table and you're having dinner or lunch or whatever. And people walk by and the person, male or female, starts to be critical. So this person walks by and they're critical about them and they think it's funny. This person walks by and they're critical about them and they think it's funny. Now, at first, you may be laughing too. But then watch it. Because when that's in them, being critical is in them. You just have not been the recipient of it yet. However, if that's the way they are all the time about very critical or, look at what's not good or whatever, then that is who they are. Are you willing to be in that all the time? Secondly, I love people that are very active. I really have an attraction towards someone who is very active. And when I say that, I'm saying, like they like, whether it's workout or, whatever, right? Then I have to look at myself and say, okay, you don't like the paddleboard. You will go on a raft. Okay, maybe, I need, some stuff to set up. You don't like cold, but you will sit up in the space and have a cup of coffee or tea or cocoa and whatever. And while they go out, but how much are you enjoying together? I'm not saying I don't want anybody who's just like me, because that's just way too much. I don't want to marry me. I am marryable, but I am not going to marry me. However, do we have any commonalities? Do we have anything that we enjoy together? I like doing things. And when I go to a new place, I want to not just enjoy the food. I like consigning. I like going. I don't normally hit the regular stores. I want to walk down and do certain things. If all they want to do is something totally different, and never do we seem to meet in any of that, it's all about what they desire and none of what I want to do, consider that. Or what you want to do, consider that when you move forward. So again, when you set up your list, and I do a list because I'm just, that's who I am. So I do the list straight. Then I go through the list and I say, what's not negotiable? And then I said, because that way I'm saying non-negotiables. And then a few days later, I go back to the list and I reassess what I have said is non-negotiable. Is it something that is because it's triggering something in me and I need to deal with that stuff? Or is it because it's something that it's just not negotiable. I'm not doing that. I'm just not doing that. So you need to know you.
I like that. And I really think making sure that you enjoy your company, that you're not waiting for certain things, that you do travel, because people, you could end up with somebody that doesn't like to travel or you start off, yeah, they like to travel and then they don't. And so I think making sure that you know how to fill up your cup, because I think sometimes people get into relationships wanting other people to fill them up.
That's good. Okay, so let me give you an example of how that could end up being an issue in your life. If you know yourself or someone else, and they're putting all of their life on hold, right? They're saying, well, I'm not going to travel because I'm waiting for them. I'm not going to do this because blah, blah. I'm not doing any of that until this person comes in. Well, as soon as the person stands in place, it's like, okay, now we need to do it all. We need to travel. We need to go buy a house. We need to buy a car. We need to do all this stuff. It's too much pressure. Stop it. And you're worth more than that to put your entire life on hold. Now, there will sometimes be people in your environment that start saying, because you're doing these things, you're not going to be involved in a romantic relationship. Shut that down in your head. Shut it down. Because I remember doing a couple things when I bought the house, a big house. And they said, well, you ain't got to worry about everything. You ain't going to never get married now. Ain't nobody going to be able to. That's not what I wanted. So I'm not going to be less because someone else is uncomfortable or could be uncomfortable, because the more success that you have in your life, and I'm not just talking about professional success, I'm saying life success, whatever that means to you, then consider that.
I like that. And as you move forward, remembering that you could be with someone. And that I think it's okay to have standards, because I think sometimes when somebody feels like they haven't been chosen or like that can be extremely painful. And this is coming from a person. So I did not seriously date. And really, me and my partner, we were set up by a family friend. I could possibly still be single if I hadn't been set up by that person. Because I think sometimes people can look at it and think, why doesn't anyone want me? When it's like, wait a minute, like you could be with somebody, but like you have certain standards, which I think is okay.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a practical example of that. When you look at Louis Vuitton, if you go into the Louis Vuitton store or the Hermes store, they typically don't have a lot of sales. You know why? Because they understand their value. So they don't, I mean, you may buy it on another Poshmark, wherever. You may buy it somewhere else on sale. But typically in the store, that's the key. Okay? So the key with that is knowing your value. And this is a real thing. Don't put yourself on the sale rack.
I like that.
Don't limit the possibilities. So now this is the other thing. If you go through your list, or you start writing out your list, you know, and you put 6'2", I'm just going to give an example, 6'2", blue eyes, brown eyes, black eyes, doesn't matter. You start putting those kind of specifics down. Then remember that in the pool of humanity, when you start being very, very specific about those things, unless it's your thing, I got it.
About those things being non-negotiable.
Yes,
versus,
I love it.
Versus
about those things being non-negotiable. The more of those things, physical, external things that are non-negotiable, the more you limit the pool that is available to you. So it's nothing wrong with wanting those things. I like the way you said that. Thank you. Because I'm not saying, oh, I got some specifics, y'all. However, there are some deeper things that I'm interested in that are internal, because anything can happen to your external, and one thing can change everything.
Yeah. And so I think someone's character, but that's where I always go back to also making sure that you've worked on you, because if I'm in a space where I feel like people make different decisions when they need to be with somebody versus wanting to be. And I think they even attract a different type of person, because if I need them, in my experience, people often attract toxic type people that use them that it ends up being extremely problematic. And then I think if you haven't taken, if you haven't thought about what those things that are really important to you are, when things come up,
and they will,
you might, and if you haven't really thought about it, because the quote unquote love. So I like talking about the different stages. When you first meet someone, that's infatuation, and it can last anywhere from a few months to maybe a year. And things will never feel quite like that's just the, they call it puppy love, or that's the infatuation state. As you start to get to know the person, and it, love should go deep. It should get deeper, but I think also your self-love too. Because I think sometimes when we don't really know ourselves and we haven't really dug deep within ourselves, that sometimes we can be looking to other people to fill those spaces and fill those voids. I do think that how people respond to conflict, I don't think it's a good thing. If somebody comes into me, I don't do premarital therapy. I used to a while back, but if I did and somebody was like, oh, we've never had an argument. Like, let's see if we can make one. Because I think how you work through conflict, because things will, you all will not always agree. And so how do you work some of these things out? And I think that can be really important. And then being careful who you're getting advice from. I personally would not go to somebody. So sometimes, especially with friends, or because some people might be giving you advice and they might be jealous of your situation. People might be trying to speak into it and they might not have the healthiest of relationships. And so I think making sure that whoever has your ear when you're talking about these things, making sure that y'all are on the same page with what you want.
Right. And the other thing is that you should be the strongest voice in your own ear. And then when you hear yourself, like if you are going into a thing, a relationship, and you start hearing a bunch of negative stuff, check yourself. I check me. You know, like, okay, well, it seems like every time somebody comes to talk to you, you have an issue with them. What is your issue? What is really your issue in your tissue? So let's talk about, are you ready for love? So the key is sometimes we think we're ready, but like Patrice alluded to earlier, is then when you get in it, you say, whoa, this is prickly. This is not, relationship is not perfect. It's just not. And anytime you're in a relationship, whether it be with our children, whether it be at work, whether it be in church, it doesn't matter where you're at. You're in a relationship with other people. Remember, they're bringing their stuff and you're bringing your stuff. That doesn't mean it's negative. That means that when you come together, there's going to be some things that are not going to fit, just like a perfect puzzle. So if you're looking for perfection in a relationship, you might be setting yourself up. Then the second thing is, there are not just go deep. Remember, there's different types of love. There's filio, which is a friendship kind of love. I think all relationships should have an element of being your friend. And I think me being my own friend too, right? Filio. Then there's eros, an erotic type of love. And sometimes people end up in the erotic type of love before they ever become the person's friend, okay? So once we, as women especially, get to the erotic type of love, what can happen is all bets are off. our brain, our emotions, and we are actually created to release an endorphin that connects us to the person at a different level, because we've entered into what can be called the twilight zone. Okay, not a negative, the twilight zone. So then we have agape. Agape is an unconditional type love.
And when we say unconditional, that does not mean to tolerate something that's not safe.
Yeah. And because I can love you at a distance. I can agape you when you gone. You're not in my space because remember, I love me first. You know, I have to protect me. Okay. So, but that's the kind of love. It doesn't mean the kind of love that you, there is, it's a grace kind of mercy that you give yourself. Remember, you should agape you. So you should give yourself some grace. We give other people, in a lot of cases, more grace than we give ourselves. We will talk bad about ourselves, but allow other people to do the same thing and give them grace. So learn to give yourself grace. Learn to give yourself mercy. Agape you. And then watch what happens. Because see, this is the thing I know. And you can check, challenge me on this one. The way who we are, right? We attract who we are. We attract, you know, they call it the law of attraction. I call it, you know, you speak life, you speak your world, there's an attraction that we have when it's based on us being healed or set free in different areas. But the only person, and this is the one I want you to challenge, you can challenge me on, is the only person you can change is you.
And I think,
one more thing about that. The only person you can change is you. And when you change, everything else changes. Go ahead.
And I think the one thing that can be really important throughout that is attachment. And making sure there's a great book, Attached, and that would actually be one of my recommendations, because sometimes, and there's a creator on here, I think it's Melissa Says, I might be getting her username wrong, but talks a lot about the difference between codependency and then attachment. That we are made to attach. But if my natural attachment style is a little anxious, where within relationships, I immediately start thinking, you know, are they going to leave me? Da, 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 and I start going through all of these things in my head. But then I'm with somebody that has an avoidant attachment style. So within relationships, there can be this pursuer-distancer dynamic. And in my experience, it often mimics other relationships that people have had, often within childhood. And so making sure to heal some of those places and work through my own attachment, do my inner work. I think that can really be helpful.
And then this, this is what I would encourage you, is that number one, you are more than enough. Do your work, but you are more than enough, right? The second one is you are worth the wait. You are worth the wait.
So and in that being like being with the right person.
Right. And not being, having anxiety about what you don't have and having freedom in what you do have. Okay, so I'm going to tell on myself since I'm fixing it, right? I have somebody that's a friend in my life, and they were talking about a situation, and they were saying, I can't believe people, you know, da-da-da, has a tree up, a Christmas tree still up, you know? And I thought, I got three up. I don't have one. I have three still up. So because I am not in a relationship, I'm not married. You know what I'm saying? I live, you know, I mean, and it's not that it's an excuse. It's just that I have priorities. And that's not an issue for me.
And you've kept your tree up.
For a year. Oh, a whole year. And I didn't change, you know, I'm going to tell you what this, my friend told me about his mother. He said, Jesus is the reason for the season. So every season, She's left her tree up for like 3 years. She'll take it down. It's a lot of work. When I put a tree together, it's a lot of work. Okay, so I'm down to only one tree being up right now. I don't care what y'all, look, don't hate. I sit up with a glass of wine and turn my tree on. It's inside. I have no decorations outside. But my point for saying that is I get a chance to travel. I made some decisions to go traveling and do some things. I've made some decisions to do that. I am responsible in those decisions. However, I am not limited by other people's decisions regarding them. Now, I am very safe. Last year, I went to Mexico and did some training for a bunch of CEOs. Now, this year when I go, I'm going to be a little bit more physically fit to go into the jungle where Tarzan and Jane is than I was last year, but that's a whole different issue. But my point for saying that is I checked and I had some people speaking into my life. So I was careful, right? I was smart about the decision I made. However, I took that. Now, had I been married, my partner could have said, no, you ain't going, you are not going.
And in my life, for safety. Well, in my life, the person might say, they would speak into it, but ultimately the decision would be, I don't know. Like, I don't do well with people telling me to not do something.
No,
like, that's my own.
She does not. I'm her mother. I'm her mother. She's one of those people that, okay, when you tell certain people that they can't do something, it's like it comes to their frontal lobe. This looks like after. This is like after. But anyway, comes to their frontal lobe. And so my thing is, even though I said it the way I said it, I would, the person that I would be in a relationship with would do it differently. Hey, babe, no, I'm sorry. You know, or I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned and I can't be there with you. I can't take off for us to go to, I mean, I just really have concerns about it. And because of my love for you and I can't, you know, I just don't want to lose, you know, say it from a loving place, then I would have probably backed off and said, hey guys, you know, this is not going to work for me this year. And then even now, I don't go to a lot of places because out of my respect for my family, you know, because I have a grandson and I don't just go Russia everywhere because I want to spend my Wednesdays with him. So I'm careful about that. And so my point for saying all that is this. There's a lot of freedom. I don't have to cook. You know, there's a whole bunch of freedom I have right now. So enjoy your freedom and enjoy serving and getting served to each other and enjoying whatever state of relationship you're in this moment. Enjoy where you're at. Don't look back and say, well, you know, when I was single, I could do this and this and this. Enjoy your singleness if you're single. Enjoy your marriage if you're married. Enjoy where you are. Because when you start using your mindset and wishing for something different, what happens is attraction. What's attracted is you start seeing the negative or you start seeing things like, I can't believe, you know, all of that stuff. And then you end up in a situation that you really don't want to end up in. So just be careful about the way we think about the current situation that we're in and enjoy our moments where we are.
I love that. And I hope that y'all were able to check the last week we posted an after show that is absolutely hilarious. And so if you're able to join us live when we stream on TikTok, and we'll likely, we also over on Clubhouse. I don't think we've mentioned that in a while. So Saturdays, we are over on Clubhouse normally by about 2 p.m., 1:45 or around that time. Check out my Twitter. I normally tweet out when we're going to have those rooms there. But I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.